Some years ago, I was working with Hewlett-Packard, and the European Union announced a list of chemicals that were going to be banned from use, specifically in electronics components and many other types of products and components. Things like lead and cadmium and a handful of others. I think there were eight elements chemicals altogether being phased out of the European Union's markets. Now, this was done in large part because of hazards to firefighters, to landfill, and just the general hazard of these materials. But what it had the effect of is taking lead out. We focused on that quite a bit because we used tin lead solder in the electronics industry. We had been using tin lead solder for 50 years. And it was a really good material for conducting electricity, for soldering, for the physical attachment of components to a circuit board. It had lots of advantages. And so the search was on for a replacement. And it took us and other companies in the electronics industry probably on the order of 5 to 10 years to finally settle on a new replacement. And there was lots of field studies, lots of research, lots of testing, and a lot of data analysis in order to sort out and find an appropriate replacement that had all of the attributes that we were desirable in attaching components to circuit boards. And that was just the solder. There were hundreds and hundreds of other parts and pieces to our products that were being changed. And so the obsolescence of just eight components or eight materials caused a worldwide and massive undertaking to qualify the replacement elements and components. Now, parts obsolescence doesn't take a major piece of legislation like what was going on with the European Union, but it can be a vendor that decides to stop making a particular component. Maybe they're just moving their focus to a new part of the industry, or it's not cost-effective for them to make it anymore, or whatever the reason. Not all components will be manufactured forever, and that's what parts obsolescence is really all about. To a large extent, the nature of our designs can help us avoid the hurdles that come up when we have to replace a component is go back to the market and find a new widget that does the particular function, and then more so is going to be to work within our application. All of that research had been done and the appropriate component selected and tested and evaluated previously. And so to avoid having to do that again is take a look at your supply chain as you select components. How stable are the vendors and companies you're at? How's that technology look? What's the technology roadmaps? And what's the plan going forward for the evolution of this component or the sustainability of this component going forward? And then to some extent, and this takes time, which we rarely have plenty of during the development process, is what are the alternatives? If we have to replace this component, what would we do? How would we go about it? And many supply chain managers, they like having two sources for every component because of the negotiating advantage that has, and also for assurance of supply. If one vendor has a disruption at their factory, the other supplier may be able to fill in the loss. But it's not always possible. Not every component has two equal sources available. And so if one of those components becomes unavailable, say for a factory fire or they go out of business or decide to obsolete that component, then what do you do? Is it involve a complete redesign and qualification? Or have we thought through that already and have alternates already in the works that would work, that would provide us an ability to continue to make our products? Now, I don't think there's a whole section in the CRE body of knowledge about counterfeit parts. I know that there's a really good conference that a friend of mine operates or is a key part of out of University of Maryland. But they have, over the last 10 to 20 years, counterfeit parts have become much more prevalent. And I'm not sure of all the motivations and factors involved with this, but because components are so small and so difficult to mark in a unique way, that two capacitors are nearly indistinguishable as to where they came from, unless you take it apart and analyze it in more detail. There, in some components, it's nearly impossible to tell until it's been under operation and under stress for some time, and then it doesn't perform as well. And it's not to say that some counterfeit parts aren't as good as the original parts, but that's rarely the motivation for the counterfeiters. Is they typically take parts that are not rated as well or are not suitable for an application that would cost more. And then they just repackage it and sell it at the higher price. So you may be thinking you're getting a capacitor that's rated at 10 volts, but it may only be rated for 5 volts. And so they won't survive very long in an application with 5 or so volts applied to them. So to some extent, stay with reputable dealers and vendors and suppliers as much as you possibly can. And if you do have to find, if you have any suspicion, then do the due diligence and take those components apart and understand exactly how they're manufactured and will they work for your application. But obsolescence is an ongoing and regular issue. Almost every vendor is going to update, every supplier, every vendor is going to update their catalog of what they offer. And there's no guarantee that they're going to make them forever. So what do we do about it? Well, as soon as you hear that a particular vendor is going to phase out a component, one of your options is to buy enough components that you don't have to find another source. We call that a one-time buy. You might be able to find an alternative manufacturer that's willing to take on the construction of that particular component or so on. Maybe you do it yourself. Or you can take a similar part and upgrade it into that area, into that application, with all of the additional risks that come with that. Now, reclaim parts is always risky because the act of taking it off of a former circuit board tends to damage a component. The heat, the extra heat cycle is usually not good for that particular design or for that particular technology. But the bottom line to all of this is you need to start this risk analysis early. It's that basic question of what if? What if this component is not available? Well, if it's a 100 ohm quarter amp resistor, well, there's dozens of sources for those particular components. So the likelihood of finding it the exact same performance and size is pretty good. You wouldn't have to worry about that too much. But if you're using some fancy digital device that only one company is making and they decide to outsource that, it may take a redesign of your circuit board and the associated requalifications to continue with your particular product. So the idea is to take a look at and work with your key suppliers, especially ones where you know you don't have alternate sources readily available. But also keep an eye on the market. Monitor the information coming from your vendors on a regular basis. There's even companies that will do this for you. They'll take your bill of material and give you weekly reports of updates and changes and increased risk from your supply chain. Now, what drives obsolescence? Well, sometimes it's legislation, sometimes it's market and profit, and sometimes it's just a refresh based on improvements in technology. And it could be all kinds of reasons why a component's not going to be manufactured anymore. But in the bottom line for all of them, it usually comes down to money. And, well, I suppose except for the legislation part. But it's something to keep in mind, especially as you start, if your design team is using lots and lots of custom parts or only sole supplier type parts, it may be time to start looking at, well, what's the obsolescence rate of those suppliers and vendors of that style of technology, and spend some more time on it early in the design so that you don't get boxed into a particular architecture that's built around a handful of components that within a few years may be obsolete. And that may really throw a wrench in your whole process of creating your product. In the next section, we'll take a look at one of the key elements of working with your suppliers is setting up specifications.